This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All right, what's up, brothers? We're live for episode number 90 of the Before the Train Wreck series. Topic today is single mothers and single fathers are not the same. Joined by single father, MMA retired John Fitch. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Real good.
Yeah, this will be a fun one because I picked this topic because, I mean, the show is about helping guys trying to avoid making train wrecks out of their lives so they can avoid making the stupid mistakes that I've made or any of the guests that I bring on. But I find there's a lot of women that complain in the comments of these videos when I talk about topics similar to this or in and around it, where it's like, you shouldn't be, you know, pointing and sputtering at single mothers. You should only date single mothers because you're a single father. And if you don't, you're a hypocrite. And it's like, okay, let's talk about those differences, because they always approach this from like a blank slate equalism where they're like, well, men and women are the same. No, they're not.
Mind disease.
No, they're not. How long have you been divorced now?
It became official like last March.
Okay.
But we were pretty much separated beginning of 2018, and she moved out in May 2018. And that's like when I started dating, because she was out of the house.
Okay. So it's pretty new for you. So how old are you now, by the way?
42. And I'm February, I'll be 43.
Damn. And you just retired from fighting at 42, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. If I would have won that fight, I probably would have been number one contender to fight for the Bellator belt, which the fight before then, when I was 41, I fought Rory McDonald. We fought to a draw, and majority of people believed I'd won the fight.
Wow. All right. Let's come back to the topic. So, I mean, like, the thing here is, I got divorced around 2011 or 12. So I'm a little bit further away from my divorce state than you are. So I got out and I did what every guy does. They're like, okay, let's go date again. And most of the women on the dating market were single moms. So
how long were you off the market before you started dating again?
That's a good question. I think it was either 7 to 9 years. I forget. It was something like 8 years, let's say.
15 years.
15 for you, eh?
15, because it was seven and a half dating and seven and a half married.
Yeah. No, it definitely wasn't that long for me. I mean, I was about 39 when I got out. And it was like, as soon as I started talking to chicks again, they were either without kids and so desperate, it was like the thirst was just, it was like they were in the, you know, Sahara desert for 3 days without any water. They were so thirsty to have kids, or they had like three or four kids in tow from sometimes multiple fathers. You're in the Bay Area, right? So what's the dating landscape like there for you?
Similar. You have a lot of people that have kids, or you have career women, a lot of career women. Their whole dating bio is, I graduated this, I have this degree, I'm have this job, I'm working here. It's all like a resume.
I'm 40 years old, put a baby in me for F's sakes. Yeah.
And then they'll have like what they want to, demands that they're listing.
Yeah, big long list of demands. And by the way, guys, I'm going to be taking some call-ins after we're done our discussion points here. So if you agree, if you disagree, if you're old, young, man, woman, I don't care. I'll drop the join link. You can hop on and either chime in, ask a question, or challenge it if you want. How do women tend to respond to you, generally speaking, as you're on the dating marketplace in your early 40s as a single father with two young boys?
Man. So at first it was a little bit rougher because I didn't lean into the fighter thing at all. I didn't post it at all. Mm. You know, so I approached it as a regular guy. You know, I wasn't leveraging my, you know, my position to help with pre-selection.
Yeah.
Right. Cause that's already a thing with, you know, pre-selection is huge. So if my pictures look good and I actually have my link to my Instagram, mm-hmm. right. So like, it took me time to realize this, but you have to date like a woman, think like a man, but date like a woman, date like mm-hmm. they do. So, you know, they all have their Instagram and stuff in their profiles. So you copy that too. So that already started getting the likes up right away. Cause now you're pre-selection. Cause they can go to your Instagram. They can see that you have, you know, a house, you have a nice car, you have whatever stuff, they can kind of spy on you. but then they also, you can't hide that you have children. And I don't even try to, but when I wasn't putting that stuff up, I had a little bit harder time matching, but I also didn't have good openers. I didn't know how to open. So it took me a while to learn that stuff too. And when I first started dating, I wasn't really selective. I mean, I had to be attracted to the person, but they had crazy tattoos, their politics, kids, no kids, whatever. It didn't matter. They're divorced or whatever. I just you know, let's give everybody a fair shake, see what's out there. Cause I off the market 15 years, I had no idea what was going on, man. You know,
did you ever have a woman like try to disparage you for turning her down for having kids in tow? Cause you're a single dad.
No, because it's never come to that point. Like I dated a couple girls, a couple women, who had kids. One had three, one had two. And the one that had two, we could never get together. You know, we dated for maybe 3 months, but we had like three dates.
Scheduling issues.
Scheduling was impossible.
Okay, and let's start with that as number one. Okay. That's one of the issues that you're going to run into if you've got a child from a prior relationship and she's got, or several, sometimes she's got them from different fathers. I remember I was talking to this one chick once and I was like, all right, so let's get together on Thursday. And she's like, well, I can't do Thursday because I got my daughter, but my son's with his father. And I'm like, what? I'm like, why is one kid away? One's with you, right?
It's two by two.
Yeah, because it's two separate fathers, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, ghost, we're done, forget this. I'm not playing this game, right? But that's one of the things that I found came up quite a lot was you'd end up in, you know, scenarios where you just couldn't align to set up a time and a day to get together. And then even if it goes well, you try to do it again, you're going to end up with other kinds of problems as well. Maybe you've got, you know, conflicting weekend schedules or days during the week. There's all kinds of things that come up. And I've seen women express a large preference for men without kids, even if they have kids, which I thought was strange. So I thought, that's interesting. What if I start doing that? Yeah. That actually made my world easier. And then when you start to hear them, you know, complain about, well, John, you really shouldn't be such a hypocrite and say, you know, by staying away from single moms, you should date single moms too, because you're a single dad. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about the optics of attraction, because women are beauty objects to men. So women carry the child. So we're talking about facts here. They carry the child and that does a number on them. Men don't. There's a pretty big difference in the optics of attraction between men and women, even if they're the same age.
Baby is literally pulling nutrients out of the mother to grow. Like it does. The baby sucks the life out of you to grow. Yeah. It's part of the sacrifice of being a mother. That's why mothers are so revered.
Yeah. And I learned that they also go to great lengths to try to mitigate that damage. I've heard everything from, well, I gave birth by C-section, so everything's all proper down there still. Okay. Still affects the rest of the body, one. And two, I had another one that had such bad stretch marks just around her abdomen. She did this massive, I don't even know how to describe this tattoo, but she had this massive tattoo like all the way down the side and down her hip. Mm. It just looked horrible. Just look horrible. It's like trying to hide crap with more crap.
Weird, but I think the stretch marks are sexier than the tattoos.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of giant cover-up tattoos, but either way, I mean, like, men don't go through that, so it's like plus one men on the scoreboard if you want to keep score the way that some of these women are, right? And then let's talk about money, right? I mean,
the biggest one is who's supporting what? Like, if the man dates and gets into a serious committed relationship with a woman with children, like, he's financially responsible now for the kids. Whereas if a man with kids, if I found another woman, she's not going to have any financial responsibilities for my kids at all.
Yeah, right. Men by a wide margin tend to get into careers and professions that, again, by a wide margin, pay a lot more than the careers and professions that women pick. Women are more into the things like nursing and teaching and administrative, like, you know, the front desk at the insurance company, whereas you have guys in higher risk jobs working more hours, getting greater pay. It's just choice. It's got nothing to do with a gender pay gap or somebody's getting paid cents on the dollar. It's just choice of careers. So for me, when I was doing this, like, I don't know what you get in the Bay Area market in California, but I found there was nobody that came anywhere close to what I made, like not even in the same ballpark. I'd be driving a nice German car and they'd have like a 15-year-old beat up Korean car with the bumper falling off. And she's asking me on the first date, do you know how to fix that and where I can get a paint shop? And it's like, these problems shouldn't be my problems on a first date, lady. Yeah. What do you find goes on down there? Like, what's the marketplace like for that?
Man. So like, there are a lot of good options for women out here though. If you're high status, because there's so many effeminate like men who just have no idea how to talk to women at all. So if you have any confidence, you have any masculinity to you at all, like you'll draw a lot of women to you. Even the ones that are super lefty political and super feminist, they're still drawn to you. So man, I stopped feeling bad about not dating single moms. Also, like when I got ghosted a few times because things would progress, the conversations, and we're getting ready to set the date. And one example, you know, the girl was telling me, oh yeah, you know, I know the area where you live. I get my hair done at this place. I'll be up there, you know, this day. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll be free. We can eat it over there, 'cause I know this restaurant that's by that hair place. I take my kids there all the time. And then right after that text, it was ghost. So it's not just the men who are her, you know, having standards or boundaries. Like, you're allowed as a human being to say, this is how I want my life to be, and I'm going to take actions towards making my life this way. Everybody's allowed to do that. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's totally fine to have preferences. I mean, women express, I mean, we call it the six sixes, you know, 6 foot tall, 6-pack abs, 6-figure income, 6 months out of a relationship, 6 inches in the pants. They've got this, truthfully, it's probably a list of like 60 or more. I think that Royce wrote a blog post once calling it like women's 286, you know, checklist of what she needs in the man. Guys don't have that same checklist. It's like, just be hot, be hot, pleasant, like, don't be a bitch. Be agreeable. Yeah. Be agreeable. Yeah. Don't bring like a bunch of kids in tow, you know, to my house to ruin everything.
Yeah.
Just basic stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if it's ethical. What it was that I dated another girl for a while, you know, the one that had three kids, and she divorced him and then like took him for like 10 grand a month in alimony or whatever. And like,
strong and independent, right?
Yeah. As I'm telling, she's telling me this, like, so she didn't work. All she was doing was hanging out with the kids and like going on dates with me. And then I just started feeling like, this is gross. Like, I couldn't do it anymore because it's like, you're like this guy, you took him for like, you're making more money than me doing nothing. And I kind of felt bad about it. And then, she's turned out to be older than I thought she was, but
yeah, I never understood that. I came across that a couple of times. I remember I met this one that had a couple of kids. She was this Norwegian chick. You know, she looked like one of the girls, you know, from that TV series, The Vikings. Anyway, and you know, so she's hot, but she's got a couple of kids. But she didn't work. She didn't have a job. She lived completely off her husband, and she was looking for replacement income. And it's like, no. It's not happening. I'm not paying for you and for some other dude's kids. Forget it.
One of the funniest things, I think the last straw for me with single moms was I was talking up, chatting this girl, who I'd kind of met at the bar, but then she found me social media, whatever. And we're chatting back and forth, set a date. And then, we're still chatting and we got on the story about, you know, I took my kids to a soccer game and I made the mistake of giving them each a bag of cotton candy, right? Instead, they should have split it. We all three should have split the bag. Mm-hmm. So I each gave them their own bag of cotton candy. So they're like, they're doing flips everywhere. They're all hopped up. True. So like, she goes in a story about her daughter getting too much sugar and something like that. And her daughter is like cussing, like, fuck you, mama, you're a dickhead. And I'm just like, your daughter? Because like, she's like the age of my youngest. And I'm like, yeah. That's your daughter saying that? And you're okay with that? And it's funny. Okay. So that was like kind of red flag. But then she said something about having meltdowns over iPads. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, I used to have problems with that. And I kind of just said real quick what I did. You know, I set some standards and made sure the kids stopped that and whatever. And I broke the pattern. And then I think she was offended because I was like telling her, oh, you can stop your kid melting down when you take the iPad away.
Yeah.
So she ghosted me. And then she like pops back up on my social media like a year later. And then we go into it again. And yeah. And then it's just she flaked and it was an excuse, something about the kid. So that was just like, I'm done. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, you run into new sets of problems if you invite a chick into your dating circle or into your life that has kids in tow versus one that doesn't.
Especially if they don't have their shit together.
And for the most part, they don't, dude. I mean, I maybe met one that had like her life sorted out and was not relying on her husband for or ex-husband for support. But for the most part, like, I even dated this one chick, dude, she was hot. She looked like Sandra Bullock and she had like, I don't have my Swiss ball here, but you know, the small Swiss balls, you know, that you use to roll on your back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Each one of her tits was that big. It was just huge. So Sandra Bullock face with giant beach ball tits. And she still lived with her ex-husband. He would sleep on the couch and she had two kids and one was autistic. And this is the one that was talking to me about how to fix the bumper on her car when I'm out with her for drinks, right? Like this is what she wants to throw on my plate. I'm like, you got like, why? Like, why would I do this when I can date younger with no children?
Yeah. Why put up with so much baggage, so much garbage? So after, I mean, that's where I've progressed. You know, I stopped dating single moms and then eventually like I have an age threshold. I don't date over 32.
Yeah.
There's too much baggage over that. Absolutely.
There's a lot of guys that will tell you to not even bother dating over 27. You know, for the very same reason, because by the time you get to the epiphany phase, you know, you're coming up with a lot of new demands and you know, change in their you know, they go from the party years obviously to I got to settle down and, you know, knock two or three out as quick as possible. I'm going to give you guys the link to join in and. Sorry.
It's harder sometimes with, you know, being 42, almost 43.
Yeah.
To hit the 24, 25, 26, where I'd like to be at. Sometimes
well, you still look younger than your age, right? Right. Like yeah, you haven't got the gray yet. You don't have the salt and pepper going on like I do.
Yeah. And it's like,
it's coming though.
Cause I can still show off the hair. It's not going yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you still got a nice lion's mane going on. I'm going to drop you guys the link to join in if you want to ask a question on this topic, share an experience, young, old, man, woman, I don't care. If you want to challenge it, bring the challenge. So it's in the chat. Make sure if you do join in, you got a decent connection so the audio's, you know, good. And have some kind of headphones so there's no background noise because these things have built-in microphones. That'll usually do the trick. Please have a question ready. If you're going to ask me some basic shit, like what do I do when I inhale, Rich? Well, you exhale, right? I mean, like we're not going to get into basic questions tonight. So you're going to get removed if that comes up, but feel free to click the link. I wanted to share the survey that I did earlier in the week on the community tab. And let me just go a little bit bigger here. Even a little bit bigger. Let's see if we can get this to fill the screen a little bit more so you guys can see it. Okay. A bit better. So survey the audience. Are single fathers hypocrites for avoiding single moms with dating? And no, they're not, was the vast majority. Now, granted, most of the guys that watch my channel are dudes.
Yeah.
There's not as many women, but let's check out the comments here because this usually sorts it by the top comments.
Redo it on Twitter.
Oh, Twitter will just break the internet if you put it there because that's where the That's where the outrage mobs hang out. Dude here says, I'm a single dad and my last relationship ended because the single mother I was dating didn't like the fact that my time and attention went to my own child instead of her kid every other weekend. It didn't matter that I spent more time taking care of her kid than my own, even going so far as to demand that I take my ex-wife back to court and fight for full custody so as to eliminate my son's mother from the equation. Two problems with that. I'm a guy, two, California. Bonus, like, you know, she's making demands on his life with his, you know, with his own kids. Bonus reason.
And what leverage does she have? I don't understand why they think you have this leverage to just make these demands.
Well, it's because they have the leverage and they think that it'll yeah. work the other way, right? It's like, you know, it's a blank slate for everybody. Men and women are the same. No, they're not. Men and women are different, and that's okay. Risk making matters worse with the ex-wife and ruining my relationship with my son. So she basically wanted to throw a huge monkey wrench in what he had going on with his parenting schedule. It didn't matter how many diapers I changed, baths I'd given, dinners cooked, trips home from daycare I've made. All that time and attention I gave to another man's kid only for him to inevitably grow up and tell me, you're not my dad. I don't have to listen to you. Cold hard facts, right? Men can discipline his children. He can't discipline her children, especially a girl. One false accusation and his life is destroyed. Let's just read one more here. This guy says, as a single father, I feel that every dollar and every minute I have to spend should be spent on my son, not somebody else's child. That's mm-hmm. just how it is. Getting involved with a single mother means resources of time and money are inevitably going to get diverted away from my own. Simple but true yep. is what it is, right? I mean, I get the plight. And by the way, for those of you guys that are in the waiting area, just leave in the private chat what your question is, or if it's a comment, if you want to challenge us, whatever, just leave a quick private chat there and I'll get to you guys in a second. But I get the plight, you know, like they're like, okay, we, you know, we deserve love too. We want to get involved as well. And you're telling guys to stay away from single moms, even though you're a single dad, you're a hypocrite. Okay. Well, you can point and sputter if you want. The fact is I've got way more money than you. You know, you've got your kids most of the time because women get 80% of the custody order still, which means over the course of a month, they've got the kids 80% of the time. So a lot of these fathers sometimes find themselves in a scenario where, they don't get to see their kids that often and they spend more time parenting somebody else's kids.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is they end up being their kids when she needs something, money, resource, attention, pay for a car, trip, whatever. But they're his kids when, you know, it's the opposite, right? Or they're her kids if he needs to discipline them. So there's a lot of things that pop up with this. It just becomes pretty problematic.
Yeah. I mean, I have my own problems with having two kids. I don't want to get into an exclusive, like long-term relationship, you know, unless I'm unless I have two girlfriends or something like that. I don't want to risk, you know, somebody moving in and then changing their mind after a few years. And now they take half of whatever I had. And then that's money taken from my kid's inheritance.
Yeah. Taken Are you going to have any more kids?
I'd be open to it. I love being a father. as long as I can afford to have kids, I have no problem pumping out kids when I'm 80. Like kids yeah. are awesome. Yeah. Like I think, you know, that's how things used to be. You know, the alpha of the group would be the number one father of that group for decades.
Yeah, and you've talked about running it as like a harem as a harem game too, right? Where you've got
a little bit, yeah,
kids with multiple women. Interesting
to have, you know. At less financial risk because you have two or three women living with you and they pay you rent as roommates.
Yeah.
You know, and you have kids with all of them. And I mean, if you have kids and whatever, you're already in.
I haven't seen that model work cleanly yet where guys get involved with multiple women and have multiple kids with them simultaneously. Like they always seem to bicker with each other. There always seems to be some added drama.
Unless there's like a religious element.
With the Mormons, you know, the Mormons out in the Utah, you know, the mountains and Mormons. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, there's Abu American. He's got he's been divorced a number of times.
12 times. He's got two wives right now, but he's been divorced 12 times. So even in Islam, I mean, even that model hasn't got a perfect record yet.
Yeah.
Or, in Craig's case. Let me grab these super chats and I'll start bringing in some of the callers. I've got 1, 2, 3. We'll bring Barbara in first. Looks like she got in first. So we've got a lady that has a question. Let's go to the super chat here. I've been raised by a single father. I'm almost 26 and doing great. Single fathers don't get the recognition they deserve. A mom doesn't know how to raise a man. 100%. That is the biggest complaint that I hear from guys in my coaching consults, that they were raised by a single mother and they didn't know how to behave like a man. And some of them are actually resentful to their moms when they find out, or if they find out that they pushed the father out of the household or kind of alienated him, but it's tough. Did you have your parents together growing up, John?
Yeah, still together.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, they were yeah, great examples. My dad didn't say a lot to teach me how to be a man, but I just could observe him.
Yeah,
you know, observing him work and the, you know, the effort he put into doing things.
Was he a tough guy? Like, was he big, like alpha dude, or?
He's like 6'4", you know, 220.
Yeah,
that's him now at 77.
Yeah, wow.
Like the example of how tough my dad is. He was refurbishing a table for my mom, you know, 5-6 years ago. The drill bit broke and he drilled into his thumb.
Mm.
He tried to treat it himself and eventually got affected. He had to go to the hospital. My mom made him. They x-rayed it just in case and came back that it didn't do anything to the bone, but he had fracture marks from a previous break. The doctor's like, "So when did you break your thumb?" And my dad's like, "What do you mean? What do you mean I broke my thumb?" So at some point in my dad's life, he had broken his thumb enough to have multiple fracture marks in his thumb, but he didn't know.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Chris King or King Chris says, shout out to Rich Cooper. Get Unplugged Alpha, the book. Highly recommend, guys. Rich, you mentioned you were releasing a course on having kids. Yeah, I'll talk about that for a sec. There's a book if you want to get it. It's on Amazon. It's also pinned in the top comment below. You can get it now as a Kindle or paperback. And yes, get on my email list. That's also pinned in the top comment. I'm going to be releasing a course this year on vetting LTR and minimizing the risk on having kids. So it's going to be, people ask me all the time, even though I'm opposed to living in a way that looks like a marriage to the state. There's a lot of guys that are like, look, I'm tired of spinning plates. I want an LTR or I want to have kids. What's the best way to do it without screwing it up? I'll give you the cheat codes to that, but it's going to be in a course. So get on my email list. I'll be putting that out when I get it out.
Highly needed for the future because, you know, when I was a little kid was wanting to be a father, and it's awesome. And I love being a father, but like I need to protect myself. If I'm going to do it again, like I have to protect myself financially, and there's got to be different strategies than, oh, I'm going to marry this person and trust that she doesn't, you know,
exactly.
Screw me in.
Hell of a lot more to it. All right. Let's start bringing in a couple of these callers. You said you wanted to stick around for about an hour. You figure?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. So, Barbara, you're up. You have a question for us?
Yeah. Hi. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I'm a huge fan.
Thanks.
So my question is, I'm sorry if it doesn't relate too much to the topic, but my question is, I've found a guy that I think is like my dream man. Just everything about him is perfect. Do you have any tips of how to keep him for the long run?
Okay, so he's your dream man. Why?
He's super ambitious. He's, to me, incredibly handsome. He is just like a leader, you know, someone who I know can lead me. I feel super comfortable.
Okay.
Just like whenever I'm around him, I have no issue like submitting to a guy like this.
Okay, good. So, and you've been together for how long?
We're about to hit 2 years.
2 years. And he's how old?
He's 22. I'm also 22.
Oh, you guys are young. Okay.
Yeah,
so
super young.
Okay. So what's the plan here? So what are you asking? What's the big ask here?
Yeah, I guess my ask is just, you know, how do I move? I know you said like most, at least guys, you know, don't think about long-term stuff until they're in their 30s and stuff. Is there any way that I can make this, like, is there any way to have this be something successful in the future, even if we're both the same age and super young?
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So I tell guys not to get into long-term relationships in their 20s because they're not very good with women, one. And two, they really need to build a foundation for their lives, not get distracted by some chick in a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. So here you guys are at 22. I'm guessing he doesn't watch my stuff, but you do?
I do. I don't know if he watches your stuff or not. I think it's kind of my own little secret that I'm a little red-pilled as a woman. You know, it's something I keep to myself. But he seems... If he does watch your stuff, or if he doesn't, he seems very naturally alpha. Like his inclinations are very masculine, very like he doesn't. I never tried to shit test him or anything like that because he seems very, you know, like he wouldn't take that.
Well, believe it or not, you probably do shit test them. You just don't know that you're doing it. Women don't notice when they do it. Yeah. Like at 22, like what are you guys doing? You in school? Do you work? Like what do you do right now?
We both graduated. I'm still looking for a job. It's been a bit hard with the pandemic, but he is working. The thing, I know you said that a lot of guys, you know, they don't know how to handle women yet. I think he's a little bit different in that he has a lot of other ladies like going after him before he got committed. Like it was definitely a bit of a struggle to get him to commit because he just has so many other women like going for him. So I was kind of shocked that he decided to, you know, become more exclusive with me. But
why do you think he picked you?
At first I was clueless. I was like, yeah, why would he pick me? Because I think I'm decent looking, but I'm not a Victoria's Secret model or anything. But in his DMs, which I found out a lot later when we were finally exclusive, there's literal models like sliding to his DMs and all that stuff. It's kind of scary, you know, when you're dealing with a guy of that caliber. It kind of makes me a little nervous.
Well, sometimes you got to share a high value and alpha. That's just the way the world works, right?
Yeah, that would make me a little scared, not gonna lie.
So you want to know how to keep this guy around. It's pretty simple. I mean, when it comes to men, I mean, there's a lot of memes out there that like boil it down to, well, if he doesn't have a boner, then put a sandwich in his hand. If he's got a boner, then take care of that sort of thing. It's really just two things. Yeah. I mean, there's a bit more to it than just that, but women are always going to be beauty objects and men like to be around. I mean, if he's an alpha dude, like strong, virtuous, masculine alpha dudes want to be around feminine women that are in their frame, that are compliant, mm-hmm. that are pleasant, you know, that shit tests them as little as possible. They don't bring drama into their lives. You know, they do as they're told. If there's a boundary set, then you stay within the boundaries. That's what guys like that typically look for. So, I mean, as long as you keep doing that and you manage your beauty and your attraction, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys will be fine in the long run. You guys, you know, pop out a few babies and live happily ever after. I don't know. I mean, you know, the chances of that happen are pretty slim. So enjoy it while you're there. You know, yeah. Maybe it goes for a while, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Yeah.
Did you want to chime in, John? Sorry, man. I was kind of monopolizing.
No, it's good. I'm observing and learning too. No, I think my only advice would be like, be open and honest and talk about what his vision for the future is, where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you maybe, and don't get sucked into the one-itis thing. Women fall for it too. Don't think that they're the only person that's ever going to be there. Or they're the best you could ever do and pull yourself into a bad situation. But yeah, make sure you're kind of at least going in the same direction.
The other thing too is like, men want women that are on their purpose, that are a complement to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you want to make yourself irreplaceable, so Becky doesn't distract him, it's not to say that Becky with big boobs is not going to distract him. I mean, you know, he's going to look, he's a man.
Yeah.
But
he's definitely going to look. Yeah. I've accepted that.
Yeah. But if you don't want Becky to distract him, then you've got to make yourself as irreplaceable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like what skills are you going to bring to the table that the other, you know, 4 billion women on the planet aren't willing to do that you're willing to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying my best to, like, I know I'm a pretty good cook and I love, you know, making food for us and taking care of him that way. But I also just, I follow the Red Pill Women group a little bit. And something that I took from there that I really liked is that they say to be a soft place for him to land, you know, like all day he's out there, like fighting the world, like trying to conquer his own share of the world. And you know, it can be tiring stuff. So I just try to be a nice place so he can come for comfort after, you know, a long day of working hard, of doing his stuff.
I've never looked at the Red Pill subreddit, so I don't really know what the, you know, what the advice is, but that sounds pretty reasonable. You know, a soft place to land is, I mean, they certainly don't want to come home after a hard day's work and be nagged and chirped all night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell you from experience, nobody likes that shit.
No. Yeah, I try to make it as pleasant as possible, you know, to keep him around a little bit more.
All right. Well, keep watching the stuff and let us know if there's anything we can do in the future. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. It was great talking to you guys.
All right. See you. Ciao. That's cute. 22-year-olds in love, eh?
Yeah. It's a hard. Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
I was in my 30s.
Yeah, I was well, I met early 30s, got married about 34, 35, I think it was. Yeah. 22 is young, man. I would never tell anybody to get married that young.
That's what when you're young, you know, though, like, you know, in my book, as a lot of my journals, like I'm writing in there a lot, like, oh my, I feel like a failure because I don't have, you know, I'm not married. I don't have kids and a house. And it was like 24.
Yeah.
25. It was like, looking at it now, I was laughing at myself reading back over.
Yeah, you got nothing going on then. Nothing, you know, for the most part. I mean, but hey.
I mean, yeah, even if I wouldn't have gone fighting, if I would have graduated with a teaching degree, if I would have been a teacher, like, I still wouldn't have had anything until my 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I would have been making like $24,000 a year in Indiana. Like,
it's crazy.
It still wouldn't have been worth the damn.
Okay, so question for you. We got two names here I'm going to throw at you. I want you to pick one. We'll bring him in. We got Lebowski and McKeelishan.
Lebowski sounds interesting.
All right, Lebowski, you're up.
What's up? All right. Hey, Rick.
What is up?
So last time I asked you a question, I asked you, should I move my girlfriend in my new apartment? You said, no. I didn't move her in. Life's pretty great. I'm glad I did it. She's more, how would you say, doing everything I want more than ever. So that's pretty awesome. So what I have going on today, or especially in this period of my life, is that I'm a part of a church, and my goodness, this church is hella feminized. I tell you what, like,
they all are.
This guy with the microphone that's singing, I kid you not, he did this, but with both hands. Like, hallelujah. I'm like, okay. So there's
I was raised Catholic, yeah. But I can't go to the church anymore because it's completely feminized. It is not the religion that I was a little kid. And
it's kind of sad. It's very sad.
I don't think the religion I saw when I was a little kid was the same as religion as 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or
2,000 years ago. So what it's coming to right now is there's this opportunity within the church to have small groups. And I have a nice place. I have a clubhouse that we could, you know, gather. And I know some guys that have boxing rings and we could, you know, fight each other, you know, kind of like do manly stuff. Mm. So I feel I'm finding roadblocks here where I'm trying to create a men's group for only men between the ages of 18 to 30. Mm-hmm. In this group where we can have a men's group, it's just us. We do mainly things, and I'm finding resistance in creating that group.
How old are you?
I'm 24. And believe it or not, if you're talking about six sixes, I hit all three of the, all six of those. So,
Like, yeah. Most 30-year-olds are not going to want to hang out with an 18-year-old. Like, I'll be honest with you. So, I mean, you might want to narrow down the age range and maybe go, like, I don't know, 20 to 26. Or
depends, like, if you're doing, like, martial arts type stuff.
Yeah, maybe then, yeah.
You know, because, like, the jiu-jitsu class has got 16 to 40-year-olds.
Well, think of it as, like, one week's basketball, one week is sparring, the next week could be, you know, something else outside. Just guys kind of, like, having camaraderie with each other.
Where do you live?
Ohio.
Okay, so like, what options do you have? Like, do you have Facebook groups that you can put together with friends? Can you do a meetup or something?
Oh shoot, I was trying to exhaust my complete options with trying to do this within the church.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have a hard time finding masculine guys in like the feminized churches.
Yeah, I'm really coming into. I feel like it's kind of like this unspoken thing. It's really strange because.
I'm sorry. Is it the fellow members of the church, or is it the church itself?
Like, it's one particular member. This guy, you know, huge, looks like a walrus. You know, there's something about him that I just don't trust. I just don't trust him. There's something about him, I just don't trust him. And he's kind of like the gatekeeper into having the groups. And they say, okay, if you want to have this group, this walrus of a man is going to be kind of the mentor of it. And just to give you an idea for what this walrus of a man is, he will spend almost 30 to 45 minutes over a single prayer, getting on his own knees, like crying, like not being a good masculine representation for what I think a man should be. And pretty much, like, as you say, blank slate equalism, he would be totally for that idea, just to give you a good picture.
Yeah.
So he's the gatekeeper.
I got a guy here in the chat. He's a big dude. He'll probably, wrestle this. If you want to email him, it's vanguardconk@gmail.com. Sounds like he's interested in joining the group. Oh no, actually he's talking about running a lot of church men's groups. That's it. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah, but shoot him an email. I know the guy well. He's a solid dude.
Well, thanks.
All right, so just hit him up with that. I would just start looking on like Facebook groups, like go outside the church. It doesn't have to be a religious thing. Y'all don't have to just agree on who it is you want to worship. You have to agree on the purpose of the get together, which is to pursue masculine, you know, feats of whatever. You know, you're going to challenge each other. You're going to do something or whatever. That's what it's about, right? It doesn't have to be about the whole religious component of it, right? Because you want to challenge each other. That's really exactly. What it's about. So look in Facebook groups, maybe try like a meetup or something like that. But Conk's a former pastor, so if you email him, he might have some advice for you too.
Shoot, so you're pretty much just saying ditch the walrus guy altogether and just try and do this on your own. Like,
look, man, if it's too hard, like, why can't you help?
Yeah, I hear you there. Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah. All right.
Enjoy living by yourself without a girlfriend at your feet all the time.
Yes.
How is it?
I'll tell you, I never thought I would spend this much money on groceries, but that's pretty much where I'm at. But I really don't think about money. I'm always investing all the time. And whenever I compare myself to my previous friends, not really my friends anymore, because to be frank, they're kind of like they're losers. They don't care about anything but just women. And I'm like all about fitness, money, and then women just happen to come along when I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
But life is good. I like being by myself.
That's good, because I mean, a lot of guys make the cardinal mistake of, oh, I can barely afford groceries, so I should move her in to split the grocery bill and and make shit easier.
But you that was my
position. Yeah, no. You never want to be in that position. You want to put yourself in a position where if you want to live with a girl, it's because you choose to.
That was the exact money. My girlfriend was trying to make, oh, you know, you'll save money. And I was like, but, you know, for 24, I'm like, making a lot more money than most 24-year-olds, so I don't necessarily have that problem that probably some other guys would.
Yeah, so, it might work on Chip, but it's not going to work on Lebowski.
Not on the Big Lebowski. No.
All right, man. Have fun with that.
Yeah. See you, Rich.
See you. Peace. Let me grab the super chat here. Somebody left one here for the last girl, Barbara. My only advice is for her, be feminine, agreeable, and stay fit. Yeah, that's standard protocol stuff. Don't get fat. Okay, let's grab Mac Galishan, if I've pronounced that right. Am I pronouncing that right? Oh, you're muted. You got to hit the microphone on the bottom left. You're muted. There you go.
Yeah, Galishan, exactly as it sounds. It's Scottish.
There you go. If it's not Scottish, it's crap, right?
Yeah. My question, I'm in my 60s. I got divorced about a year and a half ago, 2 years, and subdivided. I find I'm getting a fair amount of attention from women probably close to my age group. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have a lot of baggage, a hell of a lot of baggage, and I'm just not quite sure which way to go.
What kind of baggage are you seeing?
Oh, at my age, they're all divorced once round.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them are crazy and, you know, drunk the feminist Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's the big ask here tonight?
I'm just wondering, any advice? I see a lot of the red pill material, but there doesn't seem to be anything that's directed at my age group, probably because you guys aren't my age, but that's...
Well, are you putting limitations on the age group of women you can date? I have friends that I can't get them unblue pilled to the point where they're like, they'll accept dating somebody who's 15 years younger or 20 years younger. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Okay. I'm probably putting limitations on myself. I have a couple of daughters, and if I turned up with somebody their age, they'd probably tear my insides out.
How old are your daughters?
They're in their 30s and 20s.
I mean, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with it, and it's your happiness. Why shouldn't you be allowed to date somebody who makes you happy?
Yeah, and I don't want kids. That's the other thing. And when they're in that age group, they seem to be, you know, baby crazy.
Well, some will be. Some will get over it. But I'm with John on that. Like, why would you limit yourself to?
There's plenty of 40-year-old men.
Pool of baggage. when you could skip some of that headache and go 15 years, maybe 20 years younger. So what if they're the same age as your daughters? They can all get together at, you know, the holidays and have a good laugh. I'm sure they'll get on fine.
You can help you pick out gifts for them at holidays.
Are you happy is the question, you know?
I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life.
What's that guy? His name's Scott Adams. I mean, he's got to be the same age as you, if not older. Have you seen Scott?
Yeah.
Scott Adams?
No, I haven't.
All right, here. I'm gonna burst your bubble. I'm gonna pull out Scott Adams.
Or they got married, actually.
They just got married. Yeah.
It's funny. He posted. He was on a beach the other day, and somebody there, his followers were asking him to post a picture of his girl, his wife. So it was his face, and she was fuzzy way in the back. You couldn't see her. It's pretty funny.
Here we go. Okay. Oh, looks like they're on vacation. Let's add to stream. How do we add to stream? There we go. So this is Scott and his little girlfriend over here.
I think they got married.
Yeah, they did last summer. Here you go. He's sitting there passed out. Dave, this guy has got to be your age or older, and his girlfriend's 30. Or sorry, his wife is 30.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, you know, do you want to deal with the baggage or do you want to take a stab at something like that, maybe? Your call.
You saw me, kids.
All I'm saying is...
There are women who really like older men. I have friends. I dated a girl who was, 11 years younger than me, and I was the youngest guy she had kind of dated in a long time. Like, everybody else was much older gap. I was like the young guy.
Okay.
I mean, if you're finding that you're not happy with the quality of the produce that you're getting at the grocery store, just go to another grocery store and buy fresher produce that's not as, you know, not as old on the shelf.
Thanks, gents. Cheers. You've inspired me.
You're very welcome. You have our permission to go out there and be a force of awesome. Yeah. That's
yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I have friends who are really, they really fight me hard on it.
Yeah.
Whole age thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, sorry, dude.
Don't
feel bad at all.
I just got to make some room in the green room. So I'm going to kick some guests that have been on. You guys can watch from the show panel, but just to make some space here. If you guys want to hop in, so if you have a question you want to ask, challenge tonight's topic, I'm just going to drop a link in the chat. I'm not even going to put this, please. It just says a StreamYard link. Who we got here? Let's grab, let's see in the private chat. All right, we got a question from Sam. What's he saying? How do you differentiate between saver and protective? When should we use them in society? If you have a falling out with a girl or two in a situation. Okay, where's Sam? Sam, there you go. Okay, you're up. I'll let you just ask the question just so I don't have to read it over again.
Right. So basically, this was from the last, before the train wreck you had, and it was on the topic. How do you differentiate between our... Like, if you had a white knight syndrome savior complex before and you're trying to develop good protective instincts, like, when do you use them and how?
Well, why don't we let the MMA fighter talk about protecting?
When do you protective instincts? I mean, man, not unless it's life or death, honestly, because of the way the legal system works. Like, avoidance. I teach basic self-defense. The number one rule is avoidance. Don't get in the fight. Leave. If you see or feel bad energy in a place, leave. You don't need to be there. It's not worth it. It's not about me even being afraid of getting beat up. Like, if I hurt somebody, I'm going to get in trouble. Like, there's going to be lawsuits. I something could happen. I could kill a guy. There's people who've gone to prison because they hit a guy once, they fell and hit their head on the ground and he died. So like, it's really not worth it unless your life's in danger.
Mm.
You there's no call for it, but you need to have the training in case it does happen.
Correct. Cause that's why I've been in martial arts back and forth and trying to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never gotten a real fight. I was never that like, oh, I want to fight guys when I was younger. And I was very, very blue pilled before. Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Anybody really?
21.
Professional.
Oh yeah. You should definitely start at 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to get, they like find a dojo and learn how to deal with stuff when you're on the ground, when somebody comes at you with a knife, with a gun. Like, just deal with the main stuff, and then you can get into other things after that as well. Was that the main question that you wanted to ask?
That was the main question. I had a follow-up one just simply for a situation. If you had a situation like when you're spinning plates and you've got two girls that you didn't know were best friends, but you were hanging out with both of them at the same time and they found out about each other, mm-hmm. and then they completely drop you with no explanation. This is just kind of a fun question. Mm. Basically, one of them is trying to hit me back up and I'm like, I don't want to deal with you. However, I'm still... Like, do you confront them to be right, or do you just drop it and move on?
If you're already friends, you're already dating them, I would try to work out the three-way.
My man.
I mean, go for it. I mean, if you're not going to talk to them anyway, like, go for it. What are you losing?
May as well.
You know, yeah, like, hey, look, you guys already.
You ever had a threesome, Sam?
No, but had two girls try to make out with me at once.
Okay, get it on. Like you are gonna thank me. You're gonna call in and like,
hey, look, this may sound crazy, but it'll be a story you guys will always have. Let's just do it.
Just
fair enough.
Just light it up, man. Have some fun with life.
Well, I'm also right before I leave, Rich. I'm also noticing during these calls that you're using, if I'm not mistaken, using a lot of consultation questions and techniques, which. I'm really enjoying and trying to take notes on as well. So thank you. Your content has very varied reasons for educating me.
Oh, you're welcome. Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
I'll take it.
All right. See who we got in the way.
I've been learning a lot just by watching you this episode here.
Oh, bro, I've done thousands of consults with people. So, I mean, I'm just offering this publicly live here. So if you guys, you know, I mean, I'm $2,000 an hour. Not everybody can afford that. So click the link and join. Let's grab, we got a Megan Elizabeth here. Here we go. Add to stream. All right. Megan Elizabeth, you're up. What's shaking? Hello? Oh, we might have been trolled. Have we been trolled? All right. Let me remove. Guys, if you click the join link and we bring you into the stream, ask your question. That's why you're here. I got another name here, Aaron. Did I get that right? You're muted.
Aaron, got it right.
There you go. What's shaking, brother?
I'm good, man. I really enjoy your content.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, you know, this is about like the core of Red Pill. Like the Red Pill is based on the alpha beta dichotomy. The alpha has his pursuit. He knows what he's doing. He follows it without paying attention to the women, like without too much attention. The beta pays too much attention. So I was wondering, you know, during the quarantine, I've been pretty disillusioned. You know, I haven't been able to work. I have goals. I have stuff I want to do, but I just haven't been able to get myself to work. So what would be the best advice you can give about just the pursuit of excellence?
How old are you?
I'm about 18.
Okay. And you're talking about pursuing excellence at 18. Are you done school?
No, this is my senior year of high school.
Okay. So, I mean, what is it that you're asking me here right now? I'm not entirely clear. Cause I mean, I'm dealing with an 18-year-old that's in high school. That's got to finish studies. You're asking what to do while you're in school or what to do next after it, or
basically how best to stay focused on what I need to stay focused on.
Well,
do you even know what you're focusing on? Do you even know where you're going?
Oh yeah. I like, I'm learning lots of languages. I have my grades, obviously.
Well, more to the point, like setting aside the grades thing, because I'd be asking questions of myself, like, what is it that you want to be doing in, you know, when you're 20, when you're 25, when you're 30, because time really flies exceptionally fast. And if you don't start making some, I don't want to use the term planning, but if you're not going to start like getting clear on what it is that you're going to be and what it is that you're going to do, you're going to be rudderless. I can't tell you how many rudderless guys I have call in. They're like, I'm 20 years old and I don't know how to find a job. And it's like, you just fucking apply for it, dude. Like, I'm not going to tell you to exhale after you inhale. You should be knowing what to do here. Right. But get the studies done and lay out the framework for what your 20s is going to look like. That's probably the best use of your time. If you're asking me, I don't know, John, what do you think?
Yeah, 100%. You got to have an end point. Like, what are you moving towards? You know, man. So like I was moving towards, you know, at 18, 19, you know, getting ready to graduate high school, I was moving towards, you know, I wanted to go and wrestle in college because I was still competitive. I'm a competitive person. I wanted to compete. So I was going to get ready for that. And then I was going to use wrestling in college to get my degree in education. And I was going to go use that to be a teacher someday in a college, and a wrestling coach, maybe a college coach. So I had some trajectory of where I wanted to go with my life. Along the way, you know, working hard, keeping schedules, being disciplined, those things brought me success. And then I was able to pivot because, you know, I developed certain skills and I had a talent stack. And then when different opportunities arose, I was able to fork and take a different direction. Instead of graduating and getting a job as a teacher right away, I decided to play around with MMA for a year because I had a year of grad school paid for. I had $3,000 a semester in my pocket, and I was able to maneuver through college without any student loan debt. So I had zero debt and a free year of school, a year off. So I was like, okay, well, let's use this opportunity then to explore fighting. And then I disciplined myself again, scheduled myself, and followed a path that led me to, you know, where I am. And that path wasn't, you know, I wasn't even thinking, oh, world champion at the time when I started fighting. I was thinking, oh, I can learn a lot of techniques. I can live in California and eventually be a coach in California. I don't have to be a teacher. I was like, I wasn't even thinking about being a world champion MMA fighter really at then. Now I was like, I had that goal. It's like, at least I could do that. And we'll see what happens with the pro fighting thing. Then 2005, Ultimate Fighter blew up. And then, you know, everything else is history, right? So I started making a lot of money that way. I'm here now. And even if MMA didn't blow up, I'd still be in California teaching and I would have been happy. But I had some like 5-year, 10-year plan.
So start planning, brother.
Understood, man. Thanks so much.
Oh, looks like Megan's back and she has a question here. So let's bring her in and hopefully she's not shy. Hi, Megan. Let's try it again. Hello, Megan. Interesting. Okay. Megan is gone, but she wants to know why you hate single mothers.
Nothing in here ever was directed at hate. It was all why it's difficult, why it's not a good idea.
Or why it's a better choice not to.
Or why it's better, yeah. You know, it's just if you are fine with taking on those things and that's what you want to do, fine for you. But I don't advise it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Listen, ladies, if you want to call in and ask a question, if you need help, if you want to challenge something, feel free. The link is there, you know. But when you come on, let's talk. You know, let's have that conversation. Ryan, I'm going to pull you in. I see you waiting there for a bit. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. How are you all?
Good, man. What's your question? Good.
Well, I need some advice. I was going to say on a side note, I actually do have some mixed martial arts training. I was 4-4 as an amateur. I'd like to at least get one pro fight in before I ride off into
the face a few times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, doing that, it helped me out a lot too. My main question though is, what advice would you have for a man that was raised by a single father? My parents divorced when I was 7. And my father was beta based off your description. He never found another wife and he just drank his ass off till he passed away. And I feel like in some ways it's kind of impacted me as far as my approach with women.
How do you think it's how it's changed your approach?
I don't know. I felt like there was something missing, kind of like, you know, if you're programming a computer and there's, you know, parts of the program are missing. Reading your books and watching your content and other Red Pill creators have helped me out a lot to kind of bridge the gaps. I work as a full-time driver for UPS. I live by myself. I'm 33. I'm 33 years old.
So here's what you're missing. Did you have any sisters growing up?
I did. Or I do. Excuse me, Ashley.
Do you see them still?
Yeah, I still keep in touch with her. She's married. They don't have any kids.
Were you guys close growing up?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it was kind of hard dealing with my father. It's kind of a long story, but he was really bad with women. Like his brother / my uncle, like my uncle always had game with women. I mean, he couldn't keep them for very long, but he always had women though.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I mean, if I had to take advice from one of them, I would listen to him before I'd listen to my father, but
here's what I'm picking up with what you're throwing down. It's like, yeah, raised by a single father, masculine dude, knows how to fight. I get the feeling that and it's gonna sound like hokey pokey, like, oh, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or some shit like that. But I mean, like, you seem to lack a little bit of I don't want to use the word feminine energy because that's not what I'm trying to, you know, describe here, but like, you're a dude. Like, there's no question. If the shit hit the fan and I was in a room with, like, you know, five guys and it was between Ryan and John Fitch, I'd take you guys to be like, have my back. And I can tell by the kind of guy that you are just in like the minute or two that you've been talking. Right. That being said, there's like a part of you that you miss growing up, which was like the tenderness of a mother.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, just I remember reading your book, which has helped out a lot, by the way, reading The Rational Male, listening to your content. I did like Coach Red Pill as well, and then Rollo Tomasi's content. Mm-hmm. I always try to take, you know, the best stuff from all the Red Pill coaches. I do feel like your book has helped me out a lot, too, as far as like avoiding single mothers or like red flag women.
Yeah, you don't have any kids, right?
No.
Yeah, stay away from single moms. Don't even invite that into your life. Yeah. Okay, so what's your question? I got a magic wand I can wave to solve whatever it is your problem is. Like, what would you like that to look like?
Just being able to be better about my approach with women, though. Like, it was just, to me, I would agree with your statement where you said it was like not having a mom, like missing that part could have had some impact on me. I feel like it took me a little while before I was able to be a little more successful with women. But
you definitely need a chick that's going to submit to you and want to be in your frame, like with your personality and the way that you communicate. You want like a soft feminine, not a feminist, but a woman that's going to be willing to submit to your frame.
Find a girl who's submissive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would make the most sense. I mean, you don't really want somebody competing with you. Cause you know, that's
in the red flag chapter. You do not want to have a woman in your life that's always trying to compete with you. It's fucking exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, you're just, it's a bad
idea. Ask me how I know.
How do you know?
Yeah. Been there, done it. That's what I would be looking, you know, for. And I don't really have any resources that I could give you to read, but I'm sure there's some stuff out. Like, there's a really good author by the name of Dr. Kevin Lehman. I think it's L-E-H-M-A-N. And he seems to write a lot of stuff for, like, identities, you know, with stuff like this, especially with interactions with the opposite sexes based on birth order and, you know, whether you had a mother or father in your house. So see what he's written, because he's put a couple of good, really books out. I've read about two or three of them now.
Yeah. So when I looked through most of the Red Pill content, you know, when I read your book and then, you know, read The Rational Male, there wasn't really a whole lot as far as being raised by a single father, because it's not as common as, you know, being raised by a single mom.
Yeah. Like, for every guy like you that I talk to, I'll talk to 100 guys that were raised by a single mom.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was glad that we got to have this chat, because I mean, it was one of those questions I've been, you know, need some advice on.
I would definitely look for a chick that has a good relationship with her father and values masculinity and strength, because she's going to look for that in a man, and you already bring that to the table.
Yeah, appreciate y'all's time. Thanks for taking the call.
See you, bud. Yeah. I got a super chat here. No comment, just a donation. Thank you. Let me catch up here. How do you meet women besides cold approaching? Dating apps, dude. Dating apps are like super convenient. You can,
in the last year, man.
Yeah. You can pipeline women so easily with dating apps. If you haven't read my book, get it. I have a chapter basically on how to do exactly that, like how to get the girls.
Apps, but I still have zero cold approach experience.
Yeah. Cold approach is like, I'm not a big fan. Like, I'm more of a go about your day. If you see a pretty girl, then talk to her sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I started doing like in the last, you know, few years, I started doing that, just being more open, because I'm kind of a stoic and like keep to myself. I started like talking to, like, you know, janitors and the workers and whoever's just around, just as much as I can. Then I end up meeting a lot more people and a lot more girls, because I'm just more open and my energy's happy, instead of like scowling and I'm going about my business.
Yeah, absolutely. Divine Dragon, $20, thanks, bro. He says, I'm on work travel to Guam right now, and the amount of single mothers here is insane. They all want the same stuff. My child comes first. You'll never be her focus. That's the other thing too, right? I mean, like, you'll see it on the dating apps, like, you know, mom to four like little superheroes, mom to three amazing little whatever, this and that. I've never met a four-year-old that was amazing or was a superhero. Like, they're cute for that one moment where you got that picture with the ice cream cone and he's not smashing it in the back of his brother's head because they're fighting over something. They're cute then, but more often than not, you're dealing with extra layers of complexity. So you will never be your focus. I mean, dude is absolutely right. There's no lie there. Grab a chat. See who we got here. I think you need to write YouTube. Arthur's got some questions. Let me see where Arthur is.
Social circle. Yeah, social circle is a big one too.
All right, Arthur, you are up.
Hello, John Fitch. I'm a fan. Always watch your fights in the UFC. I train martial arts myself. Here's one thing I noticed is that, especially in the martial arts community, there's a range of masculinity. And I noticed that there's two general types where you find like those white knights who they're strong competitors and, you know, they go to practice, they work their ass off and like they're total workhorses and they're great training partners. But then you see them in like in action, they can't put it together. And
you mean in action? You mean in competition, sports competition, or in like talking to girls?
Even in some competition, life. You know, but then like in a street fight where, you know, in a controlled environment where there's rules and there's kind of etiquette and there's some sportsmanship, you know, they could do well in that. But then you throw them in the wild and then they don't quite have that, you know, that those instincts and how a person could. Because I think if a person is in that martial arts community and they've been thinking in this white knight mindset, you know, I think that they would have an opportunity to transition into a more healthy and balanced masculinity and how one would do that.
It's a bit of brainwashing, you know, you get feminized. So I for a long time was a blue pill alpha. Right. So I was wasn't full on white knight, but I had that mentality a little bit, you know, respect and honor and discipline and cucking yourself for her, whatever type of bullshit, happy wife, happy life crap. And you really just have to shake it off. You have to realize the biology of the world and how things actually work and get over that stuff. It's not this fantasy land about feelings and emotions that everybody wants us to focus on. So, you know, it took me getting zeroed out through the divorce to like wake up and shake off that blue pill conditioning. So it's hard to lead somebody to it. They have to usually experience something traumatic.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, just be more, you know, nimble and kind of stealthy, strong and stealthy, you know, in martial arts. And another thing that I wanted to ask is, you know, overcoming fear or in a way to channel it in a way so that it doesn't inhibit.
So you're never not going to be afraid when you compete. There's never been a time that I wasn't crapping my pants in the back. I've seen grown men cry. Mike Van Arsdale, we were fighting in Mexico and he's in the back talking to our manager, what am I doing? I'm 40 years old. I was Olympian. I graduated college. Why am I fighting in this arena in Mexico? This is stupid. I'm just stupid. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. This is 15 minutes before his fight. He's talking like this. Paul Bonatello used to throw up like crazy before hard sparring. He'd get so nervous that he would throw up for like 20 minutes. He'd be in the bathroom, locked in the bathroom. You just hear him. The UFC would hold a bucket by the tarp they would open before, you know, you get announced to go out, and he's thrown up in the bucket that they had for him. And then, you know, when it's time to go, he's like, his last throw up is done. And he walks out. He goes from like throwing up to walking out and being announced fighting for a heavyweight title. You know, like it's never going to go away. It's terrifying. Okay. You're fighting somebody. And it's just being able to step out into the fray like knowing that it's terrifying and still doing it. Just be like, I always go through the head, in my head, it's a Clark Griswold when he's about ready to jump in the pool and it's freezing. He's like, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. That's what's rolling through my head. And I'm just like, just do it, dude. Just jump, just go. And hopefully you've done the training, and the training will take over at that point. Right? It's all about preparedness. If you program the machine to do the right things, it's just going to happen. But most people aren't willing to put in the time and effort that it takes to program the machine properly.
Mm.
So, you know, that kind of, that makes me, you know, kind of leads me to the next question, which is, you know, a lot of times I feel there's a lot of talented guys who, you know, they let things get to them. And
emotional.
I guess, you know, just how to better channel those emotions as.
It's study stoicism a little bit.
I get angry.
Yeah, you know, stoicism. Being able to separate yourself from the feelings and pull yourself back, like literally like your soul's coming out of your body and you're looking over yourself. You have to look at yourself in that way so you can see the emotional reaction that you're doing. And I've gotten to a point where now I laugh at myself a lot because, you know, my kids are going crazy, dog's doing nuts. I can feel it building in here. I'm like, wait a minute, dude. I pull myself back. I realize what's happening. And I'm like, this is stupid. Like, your kids are just having fun and the dog's having fun too. Like, laugh. Don't get angry because like you knock the worms over when you're fishing or whatever. Like, you really have to just take a break and then pull yourself back and then laugh at the situation. The universe is preposterous. So if something stupid happens to screw your day up, like, of course it's going to happen. Your life's preposterous. Everything's preposterous. So why wouldn't something stupid happen?
Hmm. Does that help, Arthur?
Oh, yeah.
And all right.
Thank you very much. And
thanks, man. I'm going to let you go. I got a bunch of people in the waiting area and a couple of supers to catch up on. Jude, we got more than one person watching from Guam tonight. I'm also from Guam. Can confirm. So many single moms all vying for the active duty military station on island.
I had a friend who was stationed on Guam for a while, and that was something he had mentioned too. A lot of single moms in the strip club.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Oh, Megan's back. Megan, you just have to click the link and come in and ask if you want to challenge it. You'll just watch the first 15 minutes of the video, okay? Scroll back because we covered all of that already. I don't want to repeat it again. Joking, negative blips. Oh, there's one more here. Rich, what's the line? They want a civilized weapon as their man. Yeah, basically, there was a part that I dropped in the book. These Google engineers did some aggregation on women's search for erotica and porn, and the top search items I think were pirate, surgeon, billionaire, werewolf, and vampire. And what that brings you to is women want a lethal man that is civil, or they want a man that is civil that has the capacity for lethality.
So they want a man who is dangerous but has the ability to be kind.
Correct. Yeah. That's
who you should be striving to be anyways, guys. It's the whole warrior in the garden versus the gardener at war.
Yeah. Guys, again, the link was dropped. If you want to ask a question or challenge a topic tonight, call in. We got Megan that's running her mouth there on Facebook, but she doesn't want to call in and talk. You take care of that, would you, for us, Matt? Thanks. Okay, let's grab... I think we got Samsung. I don't know what Samsung's saying. Samsung. What's up, Sammy? You're muted right now. There you go.
All right. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right. First of all, English is not my first language, so bear with me if my verb tenses are not all right.
Okay.
I know, Rich, you're pragmatic, if I may say so. People come and go in your life. You don't need to take responsibility for others. A lot of stuff regarding women and all that. Basically, I met someone in September while I was doing some hiking. At first, everything went well. So in the first 2 weeks, exchanged a couple of texts. And my intuition was telling me that maybe she was just using me as a distraction or whatever. So I just cut her loose at one point. I just said, hey, look, I'm not gonna go any further than this with you. And then I told her it was a joke and it went really, really bad. So from here on.
So I can get some clarity because I'm a little bit confused. Yeah. So where do you live?
All right, go ahead. What?
So where do you live?
I don't want to, let's say, Eastern, let's say Montreal.
Okay. And what's the question here? Like, what are you trying to get some clarity?
Okay.
With?
Yeah. I was, okay. Let me go, keep going on. So, basically I met her in September and then, we keep exchanging texts, since this January. And, I was wondering where we were going with this. So I asked her and she was telling me, I need time to trust you. And, maybe we're going to be good friends one day and blah, blah, blah. So I was wondering, I know Rich, you said people come and go, but I'm having a hard time, rationally, to let those people are rare. And I think when you come across those people, you just don't cut them loose like this. So
well, scarcity mindset, man, if you had options, you wouldn't be thinking that.
Okay.
If you had four other girls who wanted to come over and bang you right now, you wouldn't be worried about
it. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I still find it ridiculous to let people go like this.
That's just the way the world works, bro.
Well, I mean, and it's not saying that you have to stop talking to that girl. Just talk to the other girls, too.
Yeah. And
you're taking the red pill and you're seeing things for what they are, and then you're surprised when they fully align with what you've been told. It's like, this is just the way that it is. You don't get mad at the water for being wet or the sun for being hot. You just, all right, sun's hot. Let's take off our clothes and tan. Water's wet. Let's go for a swim, right? Like you do what you will with it. So you just have to understand that nature and roll with it. And you're going to be less concerned about, well, this intricate detail. Like in 2 weeks of date, like John, let me ask you this question. Cause I mean, like you were a blue-pilled alpha. Now you're a red-pilled alpha, but you know, when you date right now, like, do you think about anything within the first month of dating aside from when are we going to hook up?
No, like they're, I don't give them much more of my time than setting the date. And then we spend time together.
Yeah. Because you don't,
I'm not on the phone. I stopped talking to a girl cause she kept trying to FaceTime me.
Yeah. You don't,
she's a model. Beautiful. But I was like, I don't use the phone. I don't talk on the phone. I don't have time to do this. Please stop FaceTiming me.
Jeez, yeah, I get it. Jesus Christ. But at one point,
and it's like, it's a beautiful woman who's very nice. She just was annoying me. I just don't want to be FaceTimed. I have stuff to do. I'm with my kids. I'm writing. I don't want to be distracted. Like if you want to talk to me, like, you know, like, I think it was also after like a time
Rich is laughing his ass off right now. I'm laughing my ass
off because I had a chick once that used to call me all the time. And I'm like, why are you calling me? Like,
yeah.
You know, you only use the phone if you absolutely have to use it. Like, just fuck it. Like, what do you want? Like, why do you have to keep calling me all the time?
And it was the thing, like, for me, this girl, we were supposed to have a date, and she made an excuse, you know, the night before, and then the night after, she wants to FaceTime. I'm like, no, like, it's not happening. It's like, I'm going on a date with somebody else. Leave me alone. You wasted a night of mine.
Samsung, Sammy boy.
Yeah.
In more plates. Stop getting so, you know, wrapped up in this one girl because you had that one great experience.
And no.
The truth is, if she is great, like staying friends with her, whatever, but like put your time and effort into other girls that are going to give you back what you want. And then that girl will probably be like, oh my God, he's got all these girls. He's desirable. Then she's going to be interested in you again.
Yeah. Don't sweat it. Yeah.
What?
Don't even sweat it. You're making a mountain out of a mountain.
Jesus Christ. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. You're doing a really great job, and it always amazes me when I come across people like you, right at the proper time when it needs to come across in your life. So really appreciate it, guys. All right.
Thanks. Yeah. Hey, Jordan Peterson called. He wants you to clean up your room, Sam. Oh man, good guy.
That's funny. I understand where he's coming from though. Cause like at the beginning, it hurts because like you have, I had like 37, 38 years of this conditioning of like, this is how life is. And The Princess Bride was my favorite movie growing up. And, you know, the whole true love thing. And then you realize what, how biology actually works and how things actually are. And it kind of, you're like, man, it, I, you understand in the Matrix when the guy wants to take the blue pill and go back into the Matrix again.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The story's nice. It's a nice fluffy story.
It's cute. It's cute. All right. David Markovic, you're up, bro. Can you hear us? Uh-oh. Do we have audio problems again? Do we have to put David in a room with Megan?
Maybe it's something about their phones. Or...
Oh, hang on. I thought I heard something. Dave, say that again. Do we have to put David in a room with Megan? Yeah, it's not going to work.
It's really low. It's really, okay. It's all mumbles.
This is what happens when you run YouTube in the background and you call in from another device. You're going to run into that problem. Oh, Megan's back. Let's see if she has her audio working. Hi, Megan.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we have audio. Okay, what is your grievance?
I just want to know why you hate single mothers so much.
And what makes you think I hate single mothers?
The way you talk about everyone on your channel.
Okay, and what have you heard? What am I talking about?
You just make single mothers sound like complete scum.
Did you listen to the first 15 minutes of the video?
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Oh, my. Megan, I'm not going to repeat it because I already covered it for the rest of the audience. I said in the chat to go back and watch the beginning and you'll understand it. There's no hate. Like, what is the grievance here exactly?
On your other videos that you talk about single moms, you talk about them like they're complete trash. And I'm not a single mother, but I think it's really offensive.
Okay, so what's your position? So why are you actually offended by that if you're not a single mother?
I'm offended because my mom raised me as a single mother. Okay. And I don't think you should be talking trash about women who are working hard with what they have.
Okay, so what's the trash? Explain the trash part to me.
Some of the other things you say in other videos, you like just what? Make women sound horrible. Like men what? Are so much better than women. Women are just about fucking you guys.
Can you be specific?
I am being specific. I want to know why you have such an anger and hatred in your heart towards single mothers.
There's no anger. There's no hatred.
That's not what it comes up with when you watch your videos.
John?
I have zero anger or hatred or dislike for the single mothers that I've dated at all. Even the one that was like kind of crazy and like stood me up and didn't like that I was a good father.
I find
I don't have no problem with them at all, but they're not compatible for me to date. It's not a good option for me to spend time with and put resources into at all. It hasn't worked out, and I don't see a positive situation for me personally.
So let's ask this question for clarity. So what do you think this hate is?
Well, I obviously think you've been hurt by women. And I know you like to laugh about that, but it's not nice to...
I was hurt by the government.
What?
I was hurt by the government.
Well, I'm sure you were, and you guys can have your own opinion on women, but some women are trying their hardest, you know? Some men aren't that great to them.
So why are you so offended? Like, I'm confused, because if I say something like, well, you're far better off dating a woman without children than a woman with children, why is that deemed as hatred by you?
It's not hatred, but some of the things you guys say on not you guys, just Richard.
Okay.
Some things that you say are very offensive towards women. Like, you obviously think that men are so much better.
What is offensive?
Well, I've watched a bunch of your videos. I can't remember everything off the top of my head. I just don't get why.
What are you offended by, Megan? That's what I'm asking you. What is it that you're offended by?
Why are you telling men not to date women that have children?
Because women without children are better.
That's not true.
Why is it not true?
What makes them better than women that don't have children?
I mean, how many single mothers have you dated?
Well, I've dated single dads before I got married. And you know what? Single dads aren't all they're cracked up to be either.
Okay, so a woman without kids doesn't bring the level of complexity to a man's life that a woman with kids brings. You understand that, right?
Sort of, but I just find it offensive the way you talk about mothers.
Well, you're only offended because it's true. People don't get offended if it's a lie.
I don't find it necessarily true. I had a deadbeat father. that you don't go around raw dogging women and making children.
I mean, I'm sorry. Women need to have accountability for who they choose to have sex with.
Yes, that's
why is it always a guy's fault? I mean, I'm sorry, but like, unless she was raped, like women are in control of who puts their penis in them. And they have options of like 30 to 40 different types of birth control.
That's
ridiculous. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. That's one of the biggest problems with single mothers is there's no accountability.
What do you think?
You chose to have sex with a undesirable male that wasn't going to be around and got pregnant by them. And you have 30 to 40 different options of birth control.
Yeah, but how do you know that a guy's not going to be around?
And I date you and then we get married someday. Like I'm financially responsible for your children now also because of a mistake you made.
So did your mother take any ownership in this mistake or was it all your dad's fault?
No, my mother takes responsibility as well.
Okay, so maybe I should ask you this question. Why do you hate men?
I don't hate men. I have a son. I don't hate men. I love my husband. I have a son.
Well, it seems like
a
resentment towards men and things that I say about...
I get resentment to people that are talking shit about single mothers. Like some women work really hard to raise their kids.
It's YouTube, so try to limit the swearing.
Sorry.
So my question to you is, you think that single mothers are just as good as women without children? Or they're better?
I think I'm a good mother and I'm a good woman and I have children.
We're not talking about you because you're married, right? You're a happily married woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
are you looking to get divorced? Like,
no.
Your relationship?
No, happily married.
Okay. So you're a happily married woman with children, but you're offended because I say to guys, hey, look, guys, if you're a 30-year-old man, you're chasing excellence, you don't have any kids, you want to get on your purpose in life, stay away from single mothers. And that's offensive because why exactly?
Because there's women out there that have kids that are single mothers that are good women.
Okay, but a woman without children in tow is a better choice for that guy. So why would he invite that level of complexity into his life?
But some men love children. So what's wrong with opening your heart to someone's child?
Let me ask you this question. So you're a mother with a son. So let's say that your son is 25 years old and he says, hey, mom, I got this great girl. She's got three kids, two of them from different fathers. I'm going to bring them over for Thanksgiving.
It depends on the woman.
Oh, now it depends.
No, it depends on because some women are completely crazy and some women are really nice people.
Right, but let's say your son is dating three women and two of them don't have any children. They've got a great future ahead of them. You know, they're all 25. Your son's 25 years old. They've got a university degree, blah, blah, blah. And he's got this one girl who's got three kids in tow from two different fathers, who's also 25, who's got a train wreck of a life right now. She doesn't have things together and she brings drama to the table. Would you be telling your son you should pick that woman with three kids or you should go to Sally over there who doesn't have three kids?
I would probably say the girl without kids, but I'm not saying that they're better. It's not that funny.
We're not saying
exactly is better choice.
We're taking all emotion out of it. And we're looking at like, you know, factual things that are going to happen to your life. Like you're going to take on a more of a load, more responsibility. It's harder work to date a woman with kids.
There's some men that have a married woman with children. Okay, well, I'm not saying they're better or not. I'm just saying I don't think you should talk so much crap about mothers.
It's just advice. I have friends who have married women who had children and had children with them. Awesome. Great. I don't think any less of them at all. But like if they were to call me and ask me for advice, I'd say, I don't know if this is the best idea for you. Just being honest. Not because she's not a bad, good person or whatever. I don't know anything about that. I'm just saying just financially, whatever. Are you sure? I'm going to check to make sure they're absolutely sure.
Because
some guys are going to be willing to take on the extra burden. Fine. That's up to them. But guys need to understand that they don't have to. You're not forced into that situation. And I think a lot of guys feel like they're conditioned into like, you have to date single women. You don't. You're allowed to have whatever boundaries you want to. And I think that's the message we're trying to get across. You can decide however you want to live your life. You can decide on whoever you want to date, and it's okay.
Yeah, so, that's fair.
So, Megan, are you a stay-at-home mom or do you work?
I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, awesome. So that's a nice job to have. And you got one child, two children?
Two.
Okay. And your husband works full time?
Yeah.
What does he do for a living?
He's a contractor.
Okay. So you've got a guy that's facilitated a life where you can be a stay-at-home mom and raise your son and be the parent that you want it to be. But you chose this man because he could facilitate that. You could have had the choice of another guy, let's say, that was also a contractor, but had three children in tow from a prior marriage. But you chose the guy that had more disposable income because you wanted that to facilitate your stay-at-home mom lifestyle, yeah?
Well, I also help my
husband. I have nothing against single women. I date a lot of single women. There's some beautiful single women out there. I'm just saying that you have to make educated choices as an adult if you want to get great results out of life. You have the result that you have right now as a stay-at-home mom raising your son because your husband facilitates that because of his job, because he didn't bring extra drama to the table. You chose that. That was a good choice.
Yeah.
You would probably encourage your son to do the exact same thing when he's an adult. It's got nothing to do with we don't like or we like single, you know, single mothers. It's a better choice for men that are putting a dent in the universe to not invite that layer of complexity in their life. That's all it is.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
You get it?
I get it.
We're on the same page.
Awesome. We're on the same page.
Okay, thank you.
We want people to be happy. She's doing a great job.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let's go.
It's an emotional thing versus a rational thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know? It hurts my feelings.
It's always about the feels with ladies, right?
Because the relationships are all supposed to be about feels. It's all about feels.
Yeah.
At least it's supposed to be all about feels for the guys.
Scarcity mindset. Okay, so I got a couple of supers here. Oh, we got a new member. Welcome, Kate M. And Conk's on there. Classified Chappie. Super chat here. What do you say? Leave my dad rich alone, single mommy. see, this is solipsism 101, right? Like when you hear that, you know, that term solipsism, where women don't have the ability to see beyond their own nose. This is what we're talking about, right? Like she thought that I actually don't like single mothers, that I have a level of resentment for them. But when you explain to them like, hey, let's say your son's 25 and he's got the choice between three women and one of them's got three kids and the other two don't, you're going to encourage him to pick the one without kids. Well, yeah, of course. Solipsism, right? It ends at the end of the nose. Beyond that, outside of the world, they have difficulty with that. And it's not a bug. It's a feature of women. It's okay. You just have to understand it. That's why I encourage you guys to understand these concepts. Thanks for the super. That was a funny one. I wish I pulled that up on the screen when we had her on. Alex says, I want to raise my own DNA, not somebody else's DNA. Okay. Fair enough. Let's see what we got in the chats here. Oh, crap. We're like 90 minutes into this one. John, we said we were going to do 60 minutes.
Oh, no worries. That was fun. That's fun, though.
This was a good one. This is a good one. Ladies, you need to call in more. We're going to set
you. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun. We see we're hospitable.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. Real quick, just hang back for a sec, John. I got a shout out to the channel sponsor. Shows like this don't happen without Grondike Soap. They've sponsored the channel for a long time. Masculine products, handmade, pheromone infused, dope shit. Pinned in the top comment below. Grab some, guys. You want to support the channel? There's no endocrine disruptors in this stuff. It is a beauty product. Go to there, coopersoap.com or pinned in the top comment. Thanks, guys. Let's bring Johnny back in. And I think we got one more super chat before I go. That's exactly why I follow Rich, well-handled, and couldn't bring up a compelling argument. It's about feels. But yeah, you know, she's just, you know, it's a jerk reaction. I'm offended. Why are you such a jerk, Rich? And then by the end of the call, do you think she still thinks I'm a jerk? No. Megan, buy your son that book. My book will be great for your son. I actually wrote this book for single mothers to give to their sons. You're not a single mother, but your son would benefit from it. Trust me.
I have a free kids wrestling course up on a Gumroad also.
Yes.
For your kids and have them get some exercise in.
Is that at johnfitch.net, by the way, John?
If they go to johnfitch.net, they can find the Gumroad. I think I have links on there.
Okay. Check that out. Gumroad and JohnFitch. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a bunch of links. You want to read books from my recommended Amazon store. You want to join my men's community and level up. you want to make a video request, all that stuff is there. Check it out. We will see you guys in the next broadcast. Appreciate y'all.